Saturday, March 14th. The first reading from Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Come, let us return to the Lord. It is He who has rent, but He will heal us. He has struck us, but He will bind our wounds. He will revive us after 2 days. On the third day He will raise us up to live in His presence. Let us know, let us strive to know the Lord. As certain as the dawn is His coming, and His judgment shines forth like the light of day. He will come to us like the rain, like spring rain that waters the earth. What can I do with you, Ephraim? What can I do with you, Judah? Your piety is like a morning cloud, like the dew that early passes away. For this reason I smote them through the prophets. I slew them by the words of my mouth. For it is love that I desire, not sacrifice, and knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. Haydock Commentary. God is always ready to receive penitence. On the third day He will raise us up. In a short time the Lord will easily set us free. But the prophet here refers more directly to the resurrection of the faithful and of Christ. The captives flattered themselves that as soon as they began to entertain sentiments of repentance, God would relieve them. But He answers that their virtue is inconstant and that they must suffer in proportion to their crimes. I slew them by the words of my mouth. I have ordered my prophets to denounce death unto them and to treat them roughly, like a piece of marble designed for a statue. It is love that I desire, not sacrifice. My victims are the salvation of the faithful and the conversion of sinners. So says St. Jerome. The Gospel from Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I pay tithes on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Haydock Commentary. In this chapter of Luke's Gospel, we have three examples of prayer. One of the persevering widow, another of the poor publican who solicits the divine mercy by the acknowledgement of his crimes, and the third of the proud Pharisee, who only goes to the temple to pronounce his own panegyric and enter upon an accusation of his humble neighbor, whose heart is unknown to him. The Pharisee is said to be standing by himself, separated from the rest. Others understand the term as if in opposition to kneeling or prostrating, which they suppose to be the general posture in which the Jews offered up their prayers, and that of the humble publican. The Christians borrowed this practice from them. We see the apostles and disciples praying on their knees in Acts 7:59, 9:40, and 20:36. In the Old Testament, we see the same observed by Solomon in 1 Kings 8:54, by Daniel in 6:10, and by Micah in 6:6. There are four ways by which men are guilty of pride. First, by thinking that they have any good from themselves. Second, by thinking that though they have received it from above, it was given them as due to their own merits. Third, by boasting of the good they do not possess. And fourthly, by desiring to be thought the only persons that possess the good qualities of which they pride themselves. The pride of the Pharisee seems to have consisted in attributing to himself alone the qualities of which he boasted. So says St. Gregory. He who is guilty of publicly speaking against his neighbor is likewise the cause of much damage to himself and others. First, he injures the hearer, because if he be a sinner, he rejoices to find an accomplice. If he be just, he is tempted to vanity, seeing himself exempt from the crimes with which others are charged. Second, he injures the church by exposing it to be insulted for the defects of its members. Third, he causes the name of God to be blasphemed, for as God is glorified by our good actions, so is he dishonored by sin. Fourth, he renders himself guilty by disclosing that which it was his duty not to have mentioned. So says St. John Chrysostom. See how the Pharisee here, by pride, lays open to the enemy his heart, which he had in vain shut against him by fasting and prayer. It is in vain to defend a city if you leave the enemy a single passage by which he may enter in. So says St. Gregory.